All right, guys, what's up? It's Seth and Tony back here at UD Arena for the regional semifinals for D4. We just finished up the first game between Fort Loramie and Columbus Wellington. Final in this one, Fort Loramie 35, Wellington 38. The Jags take down the Redskins and earn the right to play the winner of our next game, Jackson Center and Cincinnati Christian, on Friday night back here at UB. And Tony, it was really a tale of two halves to some degree.
Overall, it was a hard-fought game. Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, that's a good point. That first half, actually, Fort Loramie was up at halftime. A big reason for that was Elijah Meredith, Wellington's big-time interior player, was in foul trouble the first half. Didn't play much in that second quarter. As a result, Fort Loramie used that country song that we always talk about to really like impose their will on the inside. Come second half, Wellington really upped the pressure, which gave Fort Loramie some issues in that fourth quarter. And ultimately, Meredith, I think, ended up being the difference maker in this game. In that fourth quarter, just his ability to score the basketball, move the basketball, force Fort Loramie to defend him, open up some outside shooting for some of his teammates, and ultimately let Wellington run away with this down the stretch.
Yeah, and you make a really good point. When we look at the first half, Loramie, we started off the game, it was pretty back and forth, 6-6, 8-8. We got to about a quarter of the way through the second quarter, and Fort Loramie went on a little bit of a run, going up 20-10. But then Wellington closes out the half on an 8-0 run to make it 20-18. In the first half, a lot of the offense for Loramie came from Caleb Meyer and Grant Albers. They got some big buckets from Evan Holschler off the bench as well. That really kept them up at half. Whereas the Wellington school, again, with Meriton on the bench, they got some scoring from Chase Ouellette and others. Evan Henry hit a big three for them. But when we take a look at the second half, Ouellette, number 20 for Wellington, really got going in the second half. He finished with 13 points. Meredith finished with 5. So Ouellette's ability to score the basketball in the second half really played a pivotal part in the second half for Wellington. And another thing that played a big part in this for Loramie, arguably their best player, Nick Brandewey, struggled offensively in this game, Tony.
Oh, throughout the entire game. And to that note, too, that Caleb Meyer, as you mentioned previously, he really struggled in the second half. You know, he was sitting at
6 points.
6 points at halftime, ended with 10. I mean, the way he was shooting the ball that first half, you thought he was going to go off for closer to 15, 20 points. But back to Brandewey, you know, he fought hard on the defensive end. But yeah, the shots just weren't falling tonight on the offensive side of the ball. Really wasn't able to do much as for open shots, and credit that to Wellington's defense and likely coming into this game knowing they had to take Brandewey out of there. Ultimately, you know, Fort Loramie put up a fight. Definitely that lower scoring, you know, half-court style we would have thought would have played in their favor, but Wellington instead, you know, was able to walk away with this one. And as you mentioned previously, they'll get the winner of this next matchup, which we have between Jackson Center and Cincinnati Christian. And if Jackson Center is able to win this game, that'll be very intriguing to see Wellington take on Jackson Center, because they're going to play a very similar style of play as to what we saw out of Fort Loramie in this game, Seth.
Correct, but to that point, I mean, if you're going to beat a team, Wellington really only shot 41% from the field, 46% from the line. If I'm either Cincy Christian or Jackson Center and I make it into this regional final and take on the Wellington school, I would really take a hard look at the foul situation, especially late in the halves. Take a look at some of the individuals that struggled making free throws for Wellington, and maybe they can use that to their advantage at some point. Wellington school got lucky that didn't hurt them more, but they got lucky because Fort Loramie only shot 35% from the field and 38% from the free throw line. So I think that ultimately also played a factor in the outcome of this game for Loramie. They just didn't shoot the ball well from anywhere on the field tonight. And, you know, ultimately, when you get into a Sweet 16 game, you've got to be able to shoot better than 35% from the floor if you're going to want to, if you're going to move on. So unfortunately, Fort Loramie ends a good season. They end up district champs again, but they fall in the regional semis. You know, got to give congratulations to Nick Randowee on what has been a good career for him. And the Redskins have some looking up to do. You know, we mentioned Caleb Meyer as a bright spot in this first half. Certainly one of their better offensive players over the course of the season, and especially here late in the tournament. He'll be back next year. He was just a junior this year.
Grant Albers is coming back as well, that big interior guy for them.
Correct. So the Redskins have some talent coming back next year.
And one thing that's really interesting to note here, Fort Loramie has a freshman that didn't even play this tournament. He had his arm in a brace. I'm not sure what happened. But Caleb Maurer, I know we got Caleb Meyer, but Caleb Maurer, he's going to be a name next year once he's healthy. I could see this Redskins team back in the district and regional rounds again next year with the guys they got back with some upperclassmen leadership. We'll see what happens, though. So I think it wraps up for that recap. Let's talk about this Jackson Center-Cincy Christian game real quick, Seth. What is your thoughts on this, and what do you think Jackson Center has to do to try to pull a win out today?
They're going to have to try to slow this game down. Now, that is what they do. They play very patient in the half court. They don't give up, a lot of long rebounds to where teams can get out in transition. They like to get back on D and pack it in tight. The Cincy Christian team, though, has the athleticism and is going to have the size advantage in this game to be able to get out in transition, and they've got the ability to make this a very tough game for Jackson Center defensively, because they've got four guys that you can list off the top of your head: Woods, Swain, Vance, and Rogers, all that have the capability to be in double digits on any given night. And are certainly athletic enough to really put some strain on this Jackson Center defense.
Yeah, especially isolating Aiden Riker is going to be the biggest thing. You know, he's such a focal point for the Tigers. There's so much for him on both ends of the floor. If you're able to isolate him, take him out of the picture, especially on the offensive end, you know, Cincy Christian is going to do just fine. So I think that those are good points there, Seth. I think that'll wrap it up for this. We'll go ahead and give like a recap around halftime, just kind of giving our thoughts, especially if it's a close game. We'll just have to wait and see. And then obviously we will play it by ear as to the ruling today from the OHSAA about fans not being allowed for the remainder of the tournament after today. We will find out tomorrow whether that means media as well, and if we'll be able to continue covering tournament play this rest of the season.
Correct. So I'd look for another recap of this second game tonight. And then we'll let you all know about coverage for Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.